So today's message is entitled, What Are You Looking Forward To? On the 24th of August, 2025. I'm going to start with a reading from Luke 22:14-21, talking about Jesus going and preparing for the Last Supper. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. I don't know about you, but I've always been surprised and shocked by this scripture. Because for me, it's been very difficult to understand how Jesus could have eagerly desired eating that Passover, that Seder meal with his disciples, knowing full well that it would include being betrayed and would initiate the painful proceedings leading up to his crucifixion. How could any of us look forward to something like that? That's tough. I suppose Jesus also knew that all these things had to be completed in order for salvation to be made possible for everyone, and the price for all sin to be paid in full. But even so, it takes a very special person to look beyond the pain, beyond the suffering, and focus on the goal, the reward, the prize. I'd be very interested if you told me that you were looking forward to something like that. But maybe you're looking for something else. Maybe you're looking forward to something just round the corner. Maybe this year, in a week's time, maybe next year, maybe in 2 years. What are you looking forward to? For myself, my immediate family, I'm looking forward to going on holiday. Soon, in a warmer climate, where it's possible to swim in the sea, get some suntan, not have to wear a lot, to eat different kinds of food, hire a car, travel around, have some fun, not having to plan things too much, not having to fix things, mend things, sort out people's problems, mend their boilers, or pay tax bills and things like that. You know, the run-of-the-mill, day-to-day, slog, repetitive. It goes on and on and on. Just give me a break from these sort of things. Does that ring a bell? You're smiling now. It obviously does. Maybe you're looking forward to your holidays. Or maybe just some time off work. Or going to visit somebody. Maybe you're looking forward to a pay rise. Maybe you're looking forward to passing your driving test. Maybe you're thinking of renting or buying a house or something like that. Are you looking forward to going out for a meal? Buying some new clothes? Maybe you're looking forward to graduating from university or passing your next exams. Maybe you've got cause to celebrate with family and friends. Thankfully, although this world is difficult, there's usually something to look forward to, isn't there? But I don't want to burst your bubble. However, the older you get, especially in my case, because I'm that way inclined, the more you realize is that although every cloud may well have a silver lining, so it is that not everything we look forward to goes smoothly. Not as smoothly as we might have hoped or imagined. And the clear blue skies and the sun shining can turn dark and stormy in a very short period of time under certain conditions. It comes to the point that although we might look forward to a holiday abroad, for example, we also know that when we return, especially this time of year, it's likely to feel very cold. And it's possibly going to be raining when you arrive at the airport. And you might wish that you'd taken a warm coat with you and thick socks and possibly an umbrella. I'm not being pessimistic all the time, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's the same with lots of other things. The meal out that you are planning might be an expensive disappointment. Because you think to yourself, I could have done better at home actually, and it would have cost me a quarter of this price or less. Passing your driving test might mean future car problems, high insurance premiums, accidents, losing your no-claims bonus, trying to get a no-claims bonus. Renting a house might mean having annual rent increases due to inflation. New clothes that you're absolutely amazed with after the first wash will not have that certain feel about them, will they? They get spoiled, they lose their colour, they lose their shape. Graduation means perhaps having to find a job and work for a living and pay off your loan. You might not necessarily delight in that. No doubt, as I'm speaking, you can think of a few more. I'm not trying to be the ultimate Yorkshire pessimist. I don't need to try. However, most of you know what I mean. Life can be very hard. And what we were looking forward to might include many unforeseen problems or hurdles, or just plain, sad disappointments. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood this, and Jesus warned us also that we would have difficulties and trials and tribulations in this world, didn't he? Paul was determined to put things in perspective, however, without being super optimistic or super spiritual. And if we read Romans 8, 18 to 25, Paul is addressing the fact that, yes, he was having a hard time. And he said that, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. One more from Romans 5, 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Now, hope can seem like a weak, kind of a feeble, half-hearted, pathetic kind of word. A kind of, oh, you've got a lack of faith, that all you can do is hope. Oh, I hope so, I'll cross my fingers. But the power of that word is introduced when we decide what or who our hope is in. That's what makes the difference. Those things that went through your mind when I asked you what you were looking forward to, how hopeful are you that they will turn out well? That they will actually be a blessing for you and or your family and friends? How hopeful are you? Is it a bit of a gamble? Or do you really believe that it's the right thing to do? Are you looking forward to something from a purely selfish point of view? Or have you prayed about it? Have you laid it down? So what should we be looking forward to? Short phrase in Psalm 20 verse 4 says, talking about God, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Sounds ideal, doesn't it? But there's a different way of looking at this short psalm verse. Consider that it might mean, rather than whatever I desire, God will give me and my plans will succeed, to instead consider that it might and probably does mean, may God put the desire in your heart that you, stroke, we should have. The desires that we should have. Thereby our plans can be blessed and you will succeed. That concept is confirmed with this short scripture from 1 John 5:14, which says, this is the confidence, not just the hope, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Aren't you glad that sometimes he doesn't hear, stroke, listen to, or grant what we ask for? Consider some of the stupid things that we've asked for when we were younger or less spiritually mature. I've been a right mess now. We should be able to do this next instruction without wondering whether it's a sensible thing to ask for or not. And this is what it says in Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Now, you think, that's just like the first thing, case of you. Yes, it's easy. Just commit it to the Lord. However, you surely don't think this is a panacea for getting your prayers answered, do you? No, it's more likely a way of checking up whether you can commit your plans to the Lord. Or whatever it is that you're doing at the moment, can you commit them to the Lord? Because if you can't commit them to the Lord, for whatever reason, such as, I don't think he's going to be able to bless this one way or another, maybe that's because you know deep down inside that it's not actually his will for you. And you have this niggling doubt inside that you can't commit your plans to God because something gives you a lack of confidence in doing that. We all need to check our motives now and again. Paul had this kind of conflict in his own life. The Apostle Paul didn't have it easy, especially when times were rough and he was getting old. I mean, how would you feel if, like Paul, you ended up in prison, in chains, for your faith in Jesus. Would you be determined in a similar way, in the way that Jesus was and Paul was? Could you carry on, keep on, keeping on, committing your hopes and prayers to the Lord? Let's read from Philippians 1:15-26. This is Paul speaking, and he said, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter," that's those who do it out of goodwill, "do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former," that's the ones who preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, "preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance and salvation. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Now, eventually, Paul's plans will succeed. He will die. He will get what he wants. He will go home. He will receive peace. And he will receive what he's asking for, what he's looking forward to. He's looking forward to going home. The problem at the moment for Paul was that he wasn't over the moon about being in jail, in chains, getting older and older, not seeing a way out. Naturally, he would prefer for the race to be over and the time for retirement to arrive quicker. But like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a case of, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." It's natural, isn't it, to look forward to holidays in the sun, some of life's lighter moments. There's nothing wrong with that, and we shouldn't feel guilty about it either, or less spiritual for doing so. But in the long term, what are you ultimately looking forward to? Ultimately, the only thing that won't be a disappointment guaranteed, and you all know what it is: going home. This world and everything in it will come to an end. So please don't let the thing you're looking forward to have all to do with what you see here, and little to do with Jesus. This world is not permanent. It's temporary. And we are just passing through. The older you get, the more you've passed through. And like Paul, you start looking at the exit. You start looking at the finishing line and you don't know when that's going to be. Philippians 3:20-21. This is an encouragement. Paul again speaking to the church in Philippi, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. To eagerly await is a difficult concept, isn't it? Clearly, it's something we should be looking forward to, and at the same time, waiting. Well, that's an ongoing challenge for all of us, isn't it? When you're waiting for a bus or a train, it can seem like there's nothing else that's more important, that that train arrives on time. But when you, as you wait and wait and wait, you start looking at your watch, you start looking at the timetable, you start looking at other people, and you start thinking, what's wrong with this bus company? What's wrong with British Rail? It never used to be like this. There used to be clockwork, accurate. But like Paul said, while we're waiting, we should be about his business. And I think that would make the waiting so much easier to cope with, because we'd know why we're waiting and what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting. It would be more rewarding, and it's more likely, isn't it, that he will return at a time that we least expect him, because we're busy, we're doing stuff while we're doing something for him and his kingdom and our future kingdom. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven, and you know what, that is, it really is something to look forward to. So what are you looking forward to ultimately? I hope it's the same as me. Jesus, we thank you for your word, for your encouragement. And Jesus, we thank you that you've overcome the world and that we can do all things through you who strengthens us, Lord. So yes, help us to enjoy the things that you've put at our disposal, Lord, giving thanksgiving to you, but not to take anything for granted, Lord. And Lord, when we get down and when we get low and when we get challenged and when we're tripped up by the enemy, help us to remember we might be down, but you will help us to get up so that we can keep on keeping on and not to give up, Lord. Because in due time we will reap a reward if we do not give up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.